Yeah, we're not quite going back to Isaiah yet. See, after Jesus rose from the dead, he just didn't sit down and have dinner with the disciples and head up to heaven. He actually had a few words to say with them and some commands, some directions, a commission, a job that he gave them and us. We're going to look at that this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 and following. Passage commonly referred to as the Great Commission. If you don't have your Bible, we do have it up on the screen, but again, I encourage you, bring your Bibles. You can underline, you can mark, put a post-it note, whatever in there. If you see something, a question, feel free to bring it up. But hold me accountable to make sure I'm reading the Word of God rightly and I'm dividing the Word correctly. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you unto the very end of the age." Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would be present here this morning. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach your word. That your anointing would be upon me and your Holy Spirit lead me and give me the words to speak, that your people here might better follow you and your will, might better represent you to the world. And Lord, that we all would bring glory and honor to your name. Father, be present now. Let your word be lifted up and your name. In that name we pray of Jesus. Amen. Well, the Great Commission. What we see here is that we have the 11 disciples. Specifically, we don't know if there's others here, but we do know specifically that the 11 are there. The one missing, obviously, is Judas. An interesting thing occurred when they saw Jesus on the mountain, there by the Sea of Galilee, they worshipped him. Now, this is the same thing that the ladies did when they ran into Jesus just outside of the tomb on Easter morning. They ran into him and they threw themselves at his feet and worshipped him. Jesus received the worship of his disciples. Now, there's only one person that's to receive worship, and that's God. So by this we can take the lesson that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh walking on the earth. Because Jesus received it. He didn't reject it. He didn't say, "Don't worship me. I'm not worthy. I'm not God." No. He received worship. And only God is to receive that worship. So we need to understand that it's not just God's messenger that Jesus is speaking as. Jesus is indeed the full deity.
And he received their worship, as was and is his due.
We see also here a lot of other theological points in this very short passage. Okay, we have the divinity of Jesus. We see that that the Trinity is here. When we talk about baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's a lot of theology packed into these, five verses. That trials will be the expectation for the followers of Jesus. That the supreme authority resides with Jesus. That the gospel is for everyone. That God is indeed with us. That fulfillment of the prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us. These things are all right here. It's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to go into here. So much going on. Jesus said, come into the city on Palm Sunday and lifted up and received as a king. And then on Good Friday, he's crucified. And on Easter morning, he shows victory over death by raising from the dead, and there's the empty tomb. And to this comes the disciples who've been on this roller coaster with Jesus. They've been experiencing these things, these spiritual ups. I mean, it's really up to be up there and see the guy that you're following being recognized. Hey, yeah, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, as Jesus comes in. But then when he's arrested and crucified, they're like, what's going on? And he's dead and laid in the ground. They're like, ah. And then Easter morning, he's raised from the dead. And they're going, whoa. We know he said it, but we didn't believe it would happen. And the disciples have gone up and down. And then we see here it says they doubted. It's not that they doubted Jesus' divinity and who he was. They worshipped him. They doubted themselves. And their worthiness of following him. Their ability to do the ministry. They're saying, I'm just a fisherman from Galilee. I'm just, this tax collector from over here. I'm just. And some of them, they didn't feel up to the task. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Technically, according to Jewish law, divorcing himself in relationship from Jesus. Jesus, am I even worthy to be here? Am I worthy? Worthiness isn't the question. It's, you're the one that's been called. These are the ones whom Jesus selected and said, follow me. And these are the men that he gave this command. All authority has been given in heaven and earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the command he gave them. Gave them the command. Wasn't a request. Wasn't a suggestion. It is a command. In our society, we have difficulty understanding sometimes a command. We still think that I have the option not to do it. And the reality is that a command from God, no, you don't. There is no option to do it or not to do it. You have one option: obedience. When God has given you a command, that's it. If you disobey, all you have in front of you is destruction. Because either you're following God or you're not. This is what the disciples are faced with. Jesus commands them to go to all nations, not just the Jews. I mean, they've been following around Jesus, and He's been ministering primarily to the Jewish people. Yeah, we did some outreach to the Samaritans, and yeah, we had a couple others that came in here, the Roman guy. But, you know, our focus was the Jews. Our brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, our people. And first thing Jesus says is, go into all nations. Everybody. This message isn't just for the Jews. It's for everybody. No group to be excluded, because it's all nations, all ethnos, all people groups. And that's His command. You 11 guys, go to all people groups and take the gospel there. Now we can be thinking, man, those guys have it tough, but guess what was the rest of the command? He says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. If Jesus commanded the disciples to take the gospel message to all the nations, that command is to each and every one of us too. You can't say, this is just speaking to the disciples. It's not normative. It's just to that particular group. No, this is a command given to the disciples. But that command, in that command, Jesus tells them, teach the disciples, those whom you teach about me and the good news, to obey every command I have given you. And this is the top command. Why is it the top command? The last order received always supersedes any previous order in any kind of organization. If I tell somebody to do something, I say, oh no, don't do this instead. What I want them to do is the thing that I told them to do instead. The last order, military order, and it's the last orders they receive that they follow on. That's the most current. This is it, people. Our last orders received by the disciples. Go into all. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore go is often referred to it or translated as meaning, you know, as you're going through life. So not everybody has to pack up and travel to the four corners of the world. And not everybody is gifted in the gift of evangelism. But everybody's responsible for it. Each and every one of us is responsible to make disciples. That is, to make followers of Jesus. Disciple is just a follower of. It's our responsibility to make more of them. Now, some are gifted in that area, and some of us aren't. But does that mean that those of us who aren't gifted in it are relieved of that responsibility? The answer is no. It's still our responsibility to be part of that. we're commanded to make disciples. We are commanded to make disciples. So how do we make disciples? How do we do this? This is the command, right? And I might not be gifted in it. So how am I going to do it if I'm not gifted in it? Well, the number one thing that we can do is to live a life that best reflects Christ. Are you a person whose life leads people to Christ, or are you a person whose life pushes people away from Christ? They look at you and say, well, if you are an example of a Christian, I don't want anything to do with being a Christian. Because you're hypocritical or not joyful. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones that were baptized in vinegar instead of water? Some people that just make a seem to think that it's more holy to be grumpy, and it's not. We're supposed to be filled with the joy of the Lord in our life. Well, be filled with the joy of the Lord. And that will help you to disciple others. Well, how is that going to help me disciple others? Because then you become a better reflection of Christ and of God's will, and you can build a relationship with them and ask a question. Now, here's the other thing. According to this, we can't just go into our holy huddle and say, we're not going to have anything to do with anybody except other Christians. Because according to this, the first thing we're supposed to do, our number one command, is to make disciples. Not to perfect the disciples, but to make disciples. You understand the difference between perfecting the disciples and making disciples? We're supposed to go out and make new disciples. That means we've got to find people who don't know Jesus. That means you've got to find non-Christians. You've got to talk to people who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, some people go out of their way to do that, and we're going to do that with the Great Commission offering. Those of us who don't have that gift of really going out and traveling the world, how can we can support those people through our prayers and through giving? That's one way which we can be part of making disciples. But that still doesn't absolve us of making disciples personally where we are. Some people over the course of their life might make hundreds of disciples. Some people might only make a couple. But each and every one of us is required by this commandment to make disciples. I'm not making it up. That's what it says, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And this command is you're to teach the disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So the command that he's given the disciples here is also for us. To love one another is another one of his commands. Well, that's not so hard. Well, sometimes it actually is. Some of us are more lovable than others. I'm very lovable. Everybody loves me. It's just the way I am. Okay, sometimes I'm not as lovable as I think I am. But we are to love one another, to care for each other. Care for each other needs. When people look at us, if we are indeed loving one another, those who don't know Christ see that. That's how we bring them in to be disciples. Why are you doing that? Well, reach out to somebody else with love. To love our enemy is another command. When somebody does us wrong, instead of responding back, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, kneecap for a kneecap. It's like, Lord bless you, can I buy you lunch? I just did you wrong, dude. I'm not saying be a pushover and allow people to walk on you. That's not what Jesus commanded when he did it, but he said, When people come at us with hate, we're supposed to respond with love. This is how we lead people to Christ. We need to interact with non-Christians. And then when the opportunity comes, maybe invite them to church. Maybe share a prayer with them. Somebody's in pain. They've lost a loved one. Come alongside. Put your arm around them and share the love of Christ for Christ's sake. Because that's what He commanded you to do. Commanded us to do. To share His love. To lead others to the love of God. Because it's not His desire that any should perish. But the fact of the matter is that there is only one way. And it is narrow. And it's Jesus. And it's our task. Our task. My task. Your task. To disciple. Make disciples. We can't say, it's not my gifting. Let somebody else do it. No, for those people who have that gifting, we are to support them. We are to encourage them. We are to give. We are to pray. We are to be assistants in that. But still, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to be the best gospel messengers we can be. So that we lead others to Christ. So that through my ministry, personal, somebody else sees the love of God and seeks to follow Jesus themselves. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a stranger at the grocery store. There are so many ways. But we need to do them. We need to make disciples because that is the command that the Lord has given us this day. To go into all the nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then as he ends here, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He promises to be with us. We're not doing this on our own. We don't need to do this in our own strength. As a matter of fact, we're told don't try to do it in our own strength. But do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let God do it through us. Okay? This great commission. It is a great commission because it's a big job. It's a great commission because it was given to each and every Christian. It's a great commission that is yet uncompleted. Since the task isn't done yet, we each need to be diligent about getting to work. Let's pray. Father, you did commission each of us to be disciple makers. Not just of those who are like us, but of all nations. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to do this as we can't do it in our strength. But Lord, might we do it in yours. Lord, we ask that you would make Northbrook a disciple-making church, that we would be a disciple-making congregation. Lord, that people would see our lives and be drawn to Christ, not pushed away. Lord, help us to be good reflections of your love. Help us to stand for you and your word and your glory. For your righteousness, your love, your truth, your compassion.
your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a job, that we don't need to wonder what it is you want us to do, for you've told us. So, Lord, might we be faithful in doing it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.